Tom, this week I am wending my way back to the United States from Asia, so I thought we would change things up a bit. Our weekly gatherings are hopefully a good way of monitoring what's been taking place in the United States, but sometimes it's not always easy to capture the big picture. So this is a big picture kind of week, with one central question. Has the Republican Party, as we all have known it throughout our lives, now changed forever? It seems to me that even Mr. Topsy-Turvy would concede that things are now a bit crook.
Ladies and gentlemen, please rise for the horribly and unfairly treated January 6th hostages.
Dayton, Ohio, last weekend saw Donald Trump try out a new opening to his campaign rallies. By January the 6th hostages, he means the men and women charged, convicted, and jailed for their role in the deadly raid on Congress by the former president's mob 3 years ago. The soundtrack, America's national anthem, recorded by a prison choir comprising January the 6th looters, rioters, and violent insurgents. And Trump, dominant within his party, is pledging to pardon and free them.
You see the spirit from the hostages, and that's what they are, as hostages. They've been treated terribly, and we're going to be working on that. So the first day we get into office, we're going to save our country, and we're going to work with the unbelievable patriots, and they were unbelievable patriots and are. And it's a disgrace, in my opinion.
That rally last weekend was completely unhinged, a window into just how far to the right Trump and his supporters have dragged the Republican movement. As regular listeners will know, his operatives, including Trump family members, have now taken over the Republican National Committee, the party's engine room this election year. There is no one in any position of authority to push back against the dictatorial instincts of the man who could be back in the Oval Office next January. In Ohio, he railed against immigrants.
In some cases, they're not people, in my opinion, but I'm not allowed to say that because the radical left says that's a terrible thing to say. They say you have to vote against him because did you hear what he said about humanity? I've seen the humanity, and these are animals, okay?
He threatened mass deportations of potentially millions of people. He made it clear that he has no sympathy for Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky and his efforts to push back against Russia's war.
We should loan them the money, not send them the money, so that if they do make it, they're against tremendous odds, but if they make it, they pay us back. Loan them the money. Don't just hand them a check for $60 billion.
And he appeared to threaten civil war in the United States if he loses the election this November. Now, Republicans insist his comments were taken out of context. So you can be the judge. Here, in full, a riff by Donald Trump that began with a threat to put up trade barriers to prevent Chinese electric cars from reaching American consumers.
If you're listening, President Xi, and you and I are friends, but he understands the way I deal, those big monster car manufacturing plants that you're building in Mexico right now, and you think you're going to get that, you're going to not hire Americans, and you're going to sell the cars to us. Now, we're going to put a 100% tariff on every single car that comes across the line, and you're not going to be able to sell those cars. If I get elected, now, if I don't get elected, it's going to be a bloodbath for the whole. That's going to be the least of it. It's going to be a bloodbath for the country. That'll be the least of it.
Now, to be clear, he was battling strong winds that made it very difficult for him to read his speech off the teleprompter. And as a result, he discarded his prepared remarks and for 90 minutes decided to ad lib. It is impossible to know what connective tissue existed in his mind between placing tariffs on electric vehicles and predicting a bloodbath in America. But it was a gift to Biden's image makers, because Americans will be hearing this.
If I don't get elected, it's going to be a bloodbath. It's going to be a bloodbath for the country.
In the president's re-election campaign ads for the next 7 months. There is no precedent in the post-war era for the kind of rhetoric in which Trump now traffics on a daily basis. He is making no effort whatsoever to reach out to disaffected Republicans in a bid to unite the party around his candidacy. Indeed, this month, there has been fresh evidence that he is happy to see the party entirely purged of people who disagree with him.
Hi, this is Congressman Ken Buck. I have decided not to seek a sixth term in the U.S. House of Representatives.
Ken Buck from Colorado is the latest Republican to call it quits. Announcing his decision to his constituents, he unloaded on Trump and his far-right acolytes.
Too many Republican leaders are lying to America, claiming that the 2020 election was stolen, describing January 6th as an unguided tour of the Capitol, and asserting that the ensuing prosecutions are a weaponization of our justice system. These insidious narratives breed widespread cynicism and erode Americans' confidence in the rule of law.
And so another congressional career clatters to its end. But if America's grand old party is no longer a welcome home for Congressman Buck, who are the figures filling the void left by him and others who have walked away?
You can't transcend God's creation. The transgender movement in this country, if there's a movement in this country that is demonic, and that is full of the spirit of Antichrist, it is the transgender movement.
It is time for you to meet Mark Robinson, Donald Trump's choice to become the next governor of North Carolina. He's already lieutenant governor in the state, effectively number two in the pantheon of power there. If elected to the top spot, he is threatening to outlaw abortion, expand gun ownership rights, he opposes gay pride symbols, has embraced anti-Semitic tropes, quoted Hitler, and urges crowds to embrace evangelical Christian definitions of gender.
Ain't but two genders. Ain't nothing but men and women. You can go to the doctor and get cut up. You can go down to the dress shop and get made up. You can go down there and get drugged up. But at the end of the day, you were just a drugged up, dressed up, made up, cut up, man or woman. You ain't changed what God put in you, that DNA.
He has also made remarks about universal suffrage that are at least curious.
Absolutely want to go back to the America where women couldn't vote. Do you know why? Because in those days we had people who fought for real social change, and they were called Republicans. And they are the reason why women can vote today.
Stony silence in the room. It was a Republican president, Woodrow Wilson, who backed the right of American women to vote. But like Donald Trump's riff threatening a bloodbath in America, the connective tissue at work there was a little hard to divine. But for Mr. Robinson and others of his ilk, it matters not. They are on a roll within the party at a time when facts are largely irrelevant to the political process here. Polls suggest he is neck and neck with his challenger in North Carolina, Democrat Josh Stein, who would become the state's first Jewish governor if he can see off the threat from the Republican far right. Which raises a question: is it really necessary to refer to the far right anymore, given that it is now the neo-fascists who dominate the party? Their luminary, Trump's political strategist, Steve Bannon.
You can't just talk about deconstructing the administrative state. You have to do it. You have to take on the deep state. You have to do it. You have to be prepared to go to prison.
Which takes us back, Tom, to that prison choir much heralded by Donald Trump. This is no longer the Republican Party of Ronald Reagan, Dwight Eisenhower, Woodrow Wilson, or Abraham Lincoln. And it seems increasingly likely that there is no path back.